IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Lacrosse, where I talk about lacrosse, talk to wonderful, wonderful female athletes in the game, coaches, inspirational people, and I am just so pumped today to have Jen Medjid with us. Hey, Jen.
Hi, thanks for having me. So exciting.
Of course, of course. So I have to hype you up before we jump in. I got to hype you up. Jen, you're leading Boston College in goals. You're leading in points. You've been an All-American. Literally, if I did Control F on your bio for the words All-American, it was like every other line mentioned your accolades, all ACC, ACC All-Academic, and a mainstay in BC's offense. And I'm just pumped to get to talk to you, learn more about your lacrosse career, what inspires you, what it's like being part of that team, and then, yeah, what you're looking forward to in these next coming weeks.
Totally excited to be here. Thank you.
Of course, of course. So let's start from the beginning. How did you get into lacrosse?
Yeah, I think I'm from Long Island, New York, so lacrosse is huge on Long Island, and especially in my town, Garden City. So I kind of just grew up playing. My sister played in college, too, so I grew up playing with her in high school. She's 2 years older than me, and then just all of my friends were playing. So I think I kind of just grew up loving the game and had a stick in my hand since I was a young girl.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And speaking of Garden City, so you had a very successful career there. You're a captain, had a lot of All-American accolades, Under Armour All-American and all those things. But what was it like playing lacrosse in such a hotbed area? I'm always curious. Being from the DMV, I kind of know the Maryland lacrosse scene, but Long Island, just you say Long Island and lacrosse, it's almost like synonyms.
Right. It was really cool. I mean, our town was really good. We had a couple state championships before I had even gotten there. So there was just so many players I looked up to, Michaela Ricks, Carrie DeFelice, just so many great players. So to be able to step in there when I got into high school and like join that was kind of really cool. And we were pretty good when I got there too. So it was cool to go on that journey and experience and continue the tradition of winning at Garden City.
Awesome. And you mentioned getting to play with your sister as well. What are some things that you learned from her, getting to watch and kind of learn from her as a player, as a student, and, continuing that tradition alongside her?
Yeah, definitely. I think just like she's very competitive, competitive person and athlete. So I think that was really cool. And she was 2 years older than me. So I was always trying to like be like her on and off the field. So I think that was just like really cool to be able to do that and get to play with her at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. I feel you. I'm super competitive too. I try to hide it with just like my calm, kind demeanor, but on the inside, I'm like, I want to win everything. But I know it's so fun getting to, I have an older sister too, and learning from the things that they do and kind of following along with them on their adventures in life. So I'm sure she appreciated that time with you as well.
Totally. Yeah, it was so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Boston College, right? So feel like, over the years, it's been so amazing to watch the Boston College lacrosse program grow and all these big names, one of which is your names as well. But I'm curious, how did you end up at BC?
Yeah, so I mentioned her before, but Michaela Ricks was kind of like my mentor. I looked up to her from a young age, and she actually was a superstar at BC. So I kind of followed her to the camps and stuff. You know, she introduced me to Acacia, showed me around the school. And from there, it was kind of like my dream school, like you said. They were building that program kind of around the time that she got there. So, you know, I kind of watched it happen, watched them grow and watched them become amazing. And, you know, like I said, I fell in love with Keisha. I fell in love with the school, the campus. There was just everything to love about it. So I made the decision and one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Yeah, that's so great to hear. And you mentioned something that I think is so key that we don't always talk about very much is like the mentorship aspect. Can you maybe chat a little bit about what that mentorship was like for you and what it means as a young lacrosse player to have a mentor? Because I think when we hear that word, it's sometimes in a more like corporate context or maybe at school, but it's important to have mentors in the game as well.
Totally. Like she was my mentor slash idol. I just looked up to her again as a person and a player on and off the field. She was such an amazing person, so competitive on the field. And it was really cool because I was just a young girl that was like so in love with the game. I was so in love with Garden City Lacrosse, my high school. And then I fell in love with BC Lacrosse because of her, because of everything that I saw she was doing there. And I wanted to be just like her. So it was really cool to follow in those footsteps and kind of like get that idol.
Yeah, definitely. And, so what was it about Boston College as a program. Let's start there, right? You mentioned the how when Michaela was there, that was really when the program was starting to build and gain really strong momentum to set such a good foundation. So what was that, what attracted you to that sort of program?
I think definitely the coaching staff, first and foremost. I mean, Acacia, she just like makes it feel like a family here in the locker room, on the field, outside of the field. Like you feel like you have an extended family, like a home away from home. So I think that was the number one thing. And that's really important to me. And just like the winning program, like she cares so much, like she wants to win so bad, like for the program, for the school, but also for us, because she knows how much time and effort we put into it. And so I think I just saw that in her. I saw that drive, and I saw like just how much she loves this program and the school and wants to get it done. So I think that was something that really attracted to me, how much she cares about all of the players and the program itself. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, each chance I've had to chat with Coach Acacia, whether for this podcast, which I was so honored to have her on, or for ESPN. And, you know, whenever we talk to her, I've talked to her, it just sounds like you can feel the passion, right? Like, I remember telling her one time, I'm like, I don't even play for you. I'm literally, what, 25 I was at the time. Like, I'm 25 and completely out of college across and probably can't even run as many miles back in the day. The knees are not working the same. But I'm like, after this podcast interview, I feel like I'm ready to run through a wall. Like, if you tell me to do it, I'm like, I can do that. I can definitely do it.
Exactly. That is like the perfect way to describe her. She is just so passionate and cares so much. And it just makes you want to be that more passionate for yourself, for her, for the school, for everything. And I think it's cool because it's, I failed to mention, it's not just her, it's Jen Kent's the same exact way. Sam Apuzzo's the same way. Callahan Kent, like our whole coaching staff, she kind of rubs off on all of them. And it's, I think it's so cool because it's just so competitive, so passionate, so much love and so much care for the game and the school and program.
Yeah. And I feel like, especially at the level you're playing at, obviously one in the ACC and then Boston College, which has so many other amazing athletic programs as well, right? It's important to have coaches that not only inspire you, but can also help you perform to the best of your abilities. And having someone that makes you feel like you can do anything is so important to achieve what you want to achieve.
Totally. 100%. And that's exactly how she makes us feel. So it's really cool. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. And so, you know, we talked about, you know, mentioned some names of other coaches as well. Sam Apuzzo, obviously another fantastic player at Boston College, Team USA, Athletes Unlimited, and then Jen Kent, Callahan Kent also have so many amazing accolades. So what is it like playing for that coaching staff and knowing that you're being led by such like a strong and powerful roster, you know, as the coaches themselves?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you just have so much confidence and, you know, not confidence because they have the experience. Obviously, they've been to a number of national championships, a number of ACC tournaments, and have so many wins. But just because, like we were talking about, they just care so much. They put so much time and effort in. So it just gives you confidence on the field and off the field, just knowing that they're going to do whatever they can to make sure that, you know, we're winning and we're doing well and we're happy and we're a good team, we're family, and we're all loving each other. So, you know, they really care about all those aspects. And I think it's just so cool because at the end of the day, like there are ultimate leaders, you know, we have captains, but there are leaders. So to be able to learn that type of leadership from them and then have it rub off from like the top down, I think it's just really cool. And it shows.
Sure. Yeah. They set the tone, right? They set the tone and then y'all follow the leader. And exactly. Yeah. And so you've had a really, really busy year and a busy past week, I would say. We were just chatting before we started recording. I was asking you, like, have you had time for a break yet? So congrats on the huge ACC championship win. That whole tournament was amazing. Like, how do you feel? Because as a fan, I loved it. But I need to know, as a player, how did you feel going through that roller coaster of games and then that final that was like mind blowing?
Thank you. You said it perfectly. It was crazy. It was exciting. It was amazing. You know, it was interesting because last year it was like we played in two games and then we had a week off before the championship. And this year was tougher because we played three games in I think it was 5 days. So it was really tough, but at the same time, it just made it that more fun and exciting. And, you know, we went from playing Duke to Notre Dame and then UNC. And those are three of the like toughest teams in the ACC. So I think it was so hard, but it made the final championship game win that just that much more rewarding and that much more exciting.
Yeah, definitely. And I think something that I'm super curious about and would love your perspective on. So, you know, there was that earlier season loss to North Carolina and then a loss to Syracuse and then facing you know, both of those teams again, and then facing UNC in that final. What do you think was the turning point, or how did y'all kind of turn things around to go ahead and overpower those teams?
Yeah, I like to think, I'm not sure this is exactly what the turning point was, but one of my favorite games of the season was when we played Notre Dame in the regular season and we had come back. I think there was like 4 minutes left and we were down by three. And I just think that that shows so much heart, and to be able, for a team to be able to do that, you know, most teams would just give up and be like, we tried our best, but we came back and we beat them. And I think after three tough losses, to be able to do that and to play with that much heart and to come back from that is, can be seen as a turning point. So I like to see it as that, but like you said, the losses were really tough, especially against UNC. You know, we kind of got crushed. So I think that was kind of the turning point, and we just picked it up from there. And it was kind of like we went uphill from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And, you know, you mentioned the not giving up aspect. That Notre Dame game was amazing. And something I love about your team, and I think that the overall culture that's cultivated in play, is that sometimes there's an expectation in lacrosse for teams to start really fast and to score every single goal you possibly can, right? But what I've noticed about Boston College, especially, that I think you all do so well, is you don't necessarily let whatever the score is after the first quarter, the second quarter, whatever time in the game it is, you don't let that affect your play. You play the full game. There's no, oh, okay, like we're going to take it easy in this part, or we're going to panic after this many minutes. It's like, it's a full game and we're playing every quarter.
Yeah. And I think that's, you bring up a great point. I think that's something that's very hard to do in sports, let alone women's lacrosse. But I think it's because we had faced so much adversity early in the season. You know, those three losses, like the BC lacrosse isn't used to having those three losses. So I think we had to learn from it, work harder, and just never give up. And we haven't been doing that since our last loss.
Yeah, definitely. And how would you describe this year's team? You know, we know Sam is obviously a very storied player that was part of the program and now coaching. You know, think of Kenzie Kemp, think of Charlotte North, we think of Dempsey Arsenal. And it's like every year there's kind of a different look to the team, but there's still a really, really strong level of execution. So from your perspective, maybe how would you describe this team and what's helping you succeed?
Yeah, I think there's just, this team has so much heart, so much cohesion, so much fire. Again, like I said, we face so much adversity, and I think we have great players, but we're playing so well together. You know, it's not just one person or two people, like it's the whole team. When our defense isn't doing well, our offense will pick it up. When our offense isn't doing well, our defense has our back, and the draw unit's been doing amazing. Our goalie's, Shea Dolce, has been doing amazing. So I think it's like, you know, we're not going to play every aspect of the game, we're not going to play amazing every game, but we have each other's back in all of those games. So I think there's just so much heart, so much fight in this team, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah, and that's kind of what propels you, right, to keep going and to keep finding that next gear, just because of that intensity of the ACC. And I think it'd be remiss not to mention playing against Northwestern as well, because you know, you mentioned some of the losses that have happened this season, and so you know, I really enjoyed watching that game. And I think that, again, from my perspective as a fan, I almost feel like y'all have been underrated this year in a way. I think that people kind of turned the page a little bit, or were like, okay, we're just going to look away for a second on Boston College because of those losses. And then you turned around and were like, wait, no. Like, you can't forget about us just yet. Yeah. And I think that's so cool. Like, that's what I love about lacrosse is how anything can happen and how teams are like continuously finding ways to evolve.
Totally. I completely agree. And like you said, it just makes the sport so much more fun to watch and to play. I mean, it's been awesome. Like you said, people have kind of forgotten about us, given up. And I think in the last couple of weeks, we've kind of, like you said, turned that page and made them rethink forgetting about us. So it's been fun.
Yeah. I love a sneak attack. I stand. I'm a big fan of the sneak attack. And so you played at, you know, the highest levels of lacrosse throughout your career, whether it be club, high school, and now in college. I'm curious, what are some of the biggest changes that you've seen in the women's game, whether it be kind of the style of play or even just kind of the general makeup of the teams?
Yeah, I think it's just a lot faster paced from high school to college. Like everyone's good, you know, everyone's here for a reason. I think that everyone's such a good athlete, so fast and so strong, and the skill sets are just that much better. You know, if you're not that great of an athlete, maybe you have amazing stick skills. So I think it's really cool that everyone has their own unique niche in the game. And I think it just makes college lacrosse so exciting.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And what do you think it takes to be a successful and competitive player in the ACC specifically? Like, how have you continued to, I mean, because you were great already, but then how have you kind of continued to help yourself evolve and stay in the loop?
Yeah, totally. I think that's a very good question, because I think it's so hard to be good in the, I mean, so hard to be good in college lacrosse at all, but especially in the ACC. And I think it's so much more than just being athletic and having a good skill set. I think you have to rely a lot on your teammates, have good teammates, have good coaching staff, and, you know, really work hard and love the sport and care about it and just keep working every day and just keep wanting to be the best and keep wanting to win with your teammates.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the resources that BC has for student athletes, whether it be to help you be your best on the field or like maybe classroom resources that, you know, someone listening and considering BC might be interested in learning about?
Yeah, totally. We have such a great strength and conditioning staff. They're always there to help you. And then off the field, I would say we have such great tutors, academic advisors that are there to help you too. Obviously, it's a great academic school, so it's tough to balance, but I think we have so many great resources that just are there to help you at all costs.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun. I love it. I miss the student athlete days. Like I said, my knees can't do it, Jen.
Yeah, I'm right there with you almost. So
okay, no, I can't tell. And so, you know, you've had a really busy couple of weeks, and now some more busy weeks ahead with, you know, the NCAA selection show happening on Sunday, and identifying kind of where you all will be placed for tournament time. So you've won a national championship, and then you've also been a runner-up twice in your career during your time at BC. What's your outlook for tournament time in general, right? Like, how do you kind of maintain your emotions and keep up the energy knowing that there's kind of a gauntlet ahead?
Yeah, totally. I think just being able to stay focused this time especially is really cool, because we have till Sunday. We don't have an opponent. We don't know who we're facing, so we can't really scout. So we're just refocusing on ourselves. And I think that's something that's really cool, because we haven't done that since preseason, because we've had an opponent every week. So I think just being able to stay locked in and day out, you know, it is a long journey, and it's a long journey till the end of May, but being able to be with your teammates, spend time with them, and just knowing that, like, we're so lucky to be able to do that and be able to have another day with each other, and we all love it and we all love each other. So just staying locked in, staying focused on what our goals are, and I think that it'll help us get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, because I feel like there's a temptation almost to be panicked and like really forward looking, be like, okay, we got to get to this game. We have to do all of this. And I'm just always curious, like in those situations, how people stay calm. Cause I just know myself, like I'm just fully going into panic mode up until Sunday and then until the next game and the next and the next.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely hard not to think about it. Like, we want to know who we're playing to, but we just have to stay focused on ourselves and locked in. Like, we obviously are coming off such a big ACC championship win, but I think that just kind of makes it even harder in a way, where everyone's after us even more so now. So I think that this, until we find out who our opponent is, we have to get better as a BC lacrosse team, and we have to kind of keep growing every day. And I think that's exciting, because we want to get to the end of May, but we know it's going to be even harder to do it now. You know, we're not just facing ACC opponents, we're facing everyone in the country. So I think that's really exciting. And we just know that we have to get better. So we'll continue to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's fun, right? To then know, like, okay, we're kind of sitting at the top of the pyramid. There are people looking at us, like they want to be us. They want to beat us. They want to get to where we've gotten before. I feel like that just adds to the competition. That's how I feel when I do like Scrabble or something. When I'm number one in Scrabble, in anything, I'm like, yes, I've made it, but I know people are coming to the ground.
No, totally. I completely agree with you. I mean, when we weren't number one, we were trying to, you know, chase number one and beat number one. So I think we're still climbing that mountain. So it'll be exciting.
Yeah. And I got to mention too, so I tweeted about this, but I thought it was so kind of not backwards. I don't know if backwards is the way I would say it, but the fact that this was actually BC's first ACC championship and y'all won a national championship before the ACC championship.
Mm-hmm. I know, it is really cool, and it's funny how it all works out. I mean, I like to think about how, you know, the year we lost Sam Dempsey and Kenzie, they unfortunately never won an ACC championship or a national championship. And then, I mean, the year later was COVID, but even the year after, everyone thought, you know, BC is not going to be that good. And we come in and we win a national championship. So I think it's so funny and so cool how it plays out. And like we talked about earlier, it just makes college lacrosse so fun to watch, so exciting to watch.
Yeah. Do you get a chance to watch other teams? Like, is that part of maybe not necessarily from like a scouting perspective, but do you ever just sit and you're like, oh, okay, this team is playing this team, let me watch?
Yeah, definitely. I love to watch. I'm like you. I'm such a big fan of women's lacrosse, whether I'm playing in the game or not. So I love to watch the games.
Oh, that's fun to hear. It is fun to watch. I think it's kind of a way of us supporting each other too, right? Like, it's cool to know that whether you're playing or you're covering or you're doing something else, like, you still are a fan of the game and just enjoying supporting other teams and cheering them on.
Totally. And there's so many girls that I played with in high school and on my club team, you know, that are doing some amazing things. So I love watching and supporting them. And it's really cool to see how far we've all come.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that just popped up in my mind too. So do you coach lacrosse? Do you do any sort of clinics? Like, how do you kind of stay involved in the game, but off the field?
Yeah, I like to coach over the summer. There's a club team tradition that's run out of my town, Garden City, so I'll help them out sometimes. I'll run some clinics, do some training sessions, and I love it. I love coaching, so it's really cool.
Yeah, it's such a fun way to like pass on the skills that you gained and the knowledge that you have to that next generation as well, because we never know like who would be or could be the next gen Medjid.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So word on the street is there is a professional women's lacrosse draft coming up. Is that something that you'd be interested in? I don't know. I'm curious to know, like, what does the future look like for you in lacrosse?
Definitely. I would definitely be interested in playing it. And I mean, I think I've been watching it the past two summers and it's such a cool league to me. I love watching it. So I think being able to continue to play somehow, and this is the perfect opportunity. So I would love to. I'd be so honored to play in it.
Yeah, well, I will be watching and live tweeting the draft. I have my little list of snacks ready. So whenever
I can't wait. I'm ready. That's awesome. I love that. I can't wait.
Of course, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's so fun to watch. And I think something that a lot of people notice and that I've even noticed is just the level of physicality. Like, college is that extra, like, next step up, right? Like, you know, people are going to be pushing you. You got to just be tough, got to tough it out. Watching pro women's lacrosse, I'm like, Lord have mercy. I would be like, they would beat me up out there.
I know. It is so cool. It's so physical. And that's just one of the cool rules I think that they have. I love how that there's a draft every week. You know, you're not playing on the same team for the whole summer. So I think they really did a good job with the format and the rules and everything. And I think it makes it so exciting to watch.
Yeah, for sure. Is there a specific player that maybe is in the league now or that could potentially be in the league in the future that you want to be teammates with?
There's like so many. Oh my gosh. I think it would be cool to play with Sam. I mean, she's my coach now. I got to play 1 year with her when I was a freshman. She was a senior, but you know, to be able to be coached by her the past 2 years has been really cool. So I think to reunite with her on the field in a way would be something that's really cool. And obviously she's such an insane player and just so smart. So I think it would be just so fun.
Yeah, she's really good at drafting. So you never know. I talked to her about it too. I'm like, how have you been picking the perfect team every time? Because she just, it's like putting together this puzzle and she does it so quickly and so perfectly. But I think it's her understanding of each person's strengths and staying engaged, like watching other teams play. She's not just walking off. She's like staying really in tune with how everyone's doing.
Exactly. You have it spot on. She's so competitive and just knows the game so well, knows the players so well. So it doesn't surprise me at all, but it really is a cool talent that she has because she does it so well.
Absolutely. Definitely. Well, I'm crossing my fingers, wishing you all the best. I think we would just be so lucky to have you at the pro ranks as well. That's me looking like way, way in the future. So someone's going to tweet at me and be like, she's not done yet. Like, I know. I can't help it. I have to ask. But no, I think, you know, you have so many awesome things ahead and it's just so cool as a fan and, you know, someone involved in the game as well to get to just watch your trajectory.
Thank you so much. It's been so much fun and I've been a fan of yours ever since I was a little girl. So this has been awesome. Thank you.
I appreciate that. All right. So, you know, before we wrap up, I think I want to know who is Jen Medjid off the field, right? So maybe let's start with what are you studying?
I'm studying marketing and I'm in my grad school for leadership and administration right now.
Ooh, okay. Fancy. I like it. And we chatted a little bit about this before, but you mentioned you'd like to stay in the sports realm and work maybe in sports marketing.
Yeah, definitely. Sports marketing would be my dream, you know, to work for like a sports team, a pro team, whatever it may be. I just, like we talked about earlier, I love sports. I love watching them. I love playing them. So to be able to stay in it somehow would be a dream come true.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you're in the midst and in the time of NIL. So I'm curious to, you know, how have you gotten involved in the NIL process? And overall, like, what do you think about those opportunities that are now available for student athletes?
Yeah, I've actually just kind of started in that space a little bit. So I think it's really exciting. And I think there's so many opportunities for so many people, and not just college across, but all of college athletics. And it's really cool to be able to profit off your name. You know, we work so hard and we do so much. So I think it's such a cool opportunity, and to get another way to give back. You know, like we talked about earlier, there's so many young girls that you can train, you can run clinics for, and to be able to give that back that way is so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think social media too is like one of the most interesting parts, because I think social media is almost an equalizer in the NIL game, because any sport and any athlete can build a following based on their interests, their personality, their name, right? Like, we know, okay, she's killing on the field. Like, we get to follow along, we get to support. And I think it's just, it's really fun. It's a fun way to allow student athletes to just build their own branding and build off of the name that they're creating for their school as well.
Totally, perfectly said. I agree. It's awesome.
Yeah. Ah, that's so great. So great. We love NIL. All right. So off the field, let's see. It's a non-game day. I don't know. Y'all might have practice every day, but you love you. It's a non-game day. What is Jen Medjid doing for fun?
I just love to spend time with my teammates. Honestly, nothing crazy. My friends, whatever it may be. I think we just love to spend time together. I'll go home and spend time with my family. I'm a big family person. So I think just, you know, I don't really care what it is. Spending that time with them is awesome. In the summer, I love to go to the beach. So just whatever it is, spending time with loved ones.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. See, surrounding yourself with wholesome energy.
Exactly.
I'm the same way. I'm in Atlanta now, but and my family's in Maryland, and I moved out. I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm gonna go be a big girl and live by myself. And then every 2 weeks, I'm like, well, gotta pack for a flight. I'm gonna go see my friends.
Exactly.
It's just us sitting like on the couch by the fireplace and watching YouTube videos of like random food channels. But
exactly, just hanging out.
Yeah. It's like a wonderful way to just recharge and be surrounded by people that you really love being around.
Right. Totally. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So one of my last questions for you, and this might be like the overarching existential question, but I'm curious, like, what legacy do you hope to leave at Boston College?
I think kind of just like Mikayla left for me, to be able to have those young girls look up to me and, you know, want to be a part of a BC lacrosse team that I was a part of. You know, yes, we won AC championship, a national championship, hopefully more to come, but to be part of that like family aspect and to just see how much joy and love it brought me into my life, and for them to be able to see that and hopefully do that one day, I think is the best legacy that can be left.
Yeah, love that. Signed, sealed, delivered.
Yes.
Living it. I think that's really wonderful. And again, like, you know, like Mikayla passed on to you the passion of the game and the passion for Boston College, like those are things that you'll be able to pass on as well. And I think it's always important to highlight, like, not only are you leaving that legacy on the field, but off the field, just continuing building a culture of respect and like loving your teammates, having, you know, good relationships. Those are all things that propel you to success, not only as an athlete, but I think long-term.
Totally. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And for the young players out there listening, what are some tips that you would give to them, you know, as they're working hard to get to the level that you're at today?
Yeah, I think just continue to work hard. Obviously, you know, it's not always going to be easy. You're going to face some bumps in the road, but just remember how much you love the sport and how much fun it is to be with your teammates and to be playing the sport that you love. So just whether it gets hard, whatever it is, just continue to enjoy it every step of the way, because it goes by fast. And, you know, it really is an amazing game that we're so lucky to be able to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that is so wonderful. Always, always so inspiring to get to have these conversations. And Jen, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. This has been awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. Best of luck all along the way. I know I'll be cheering for you and your teammates. Everyone listening will as well. And yeah, Jen Medjid, you rock.
Thank you so much. You're the best. Thanks for having me.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Shooting Space, my podcast where I talk all things women's lacrosse. Today, we have the belle of the ball, Belle Smith, on the podcast. Belle, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me. This is great.
Absolutely. So how are you feeling? I feel like this season. I just spoke to Jen and now speaking to you. You both have been very, very busy.
Yes, very busy. We just had the selection show last night, which was very exciting. We're the 3 seed again going into the tournament and we're pumped about it. We're ready to get to work this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a great time as a fan watching y'all play in that that ACC championship game. And can you talk a little bit about just what sort of energy that you had going into that game and what mentality helped propel you past UNC?
Yeah, I honestly think the biggest thing is that we started a little slow this year. And that's something that fired us up. We knew if we wanted to get a home playoff seed and be home during playoffs, then we needed to win the ACC championship. And I'm fortunate that's something I've had every single year. So I didn't really know what it's like to not be home for playoffs. So I didn't want to find out. So I think that's something that really gave us energy going into that game, is just knowing what it could do for us in the future for the national championship trophy. So I think that, and then also just the fact that we've never won it before. I mean, every year we're hungry and hungrier to win that ACC trophy because we haven't done it yet. Right. And that just carried into this year.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you mentioned something super interesting that I think I saw as well, was that this year was maybe a little bit of a slower start, not necessarily a bad start for the team, but I almost felt like people were kind of discounting BC and being like, oh, okay, like maybe they're not necessarily going to go all the way this year, not going to do X, Y, Z, but it's, I think BC is a team that's just knocking on the door consistently. And when we looked at the record, we looked at the numbers, like, oh yeah, this was kind of bound to happen.
Yeah, definitely. I think you obviously can't discount that we lost Charlotte North last year, who was one of probably the best players to ever come through lacrosse ever. And as great as she is, I think we needed to figure out how to manage an offense without her in it and kind of figure out our own new identity a little bit, because we lost her and she was such a big identity for us. So I think it just took us a little more time than we thought it would. But now that we've kind of figured it out a little bit more, we're really gelling and it's just becoming a lot more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so fun to watch too. And that identity part that you mentioned, I think it's so obvious. You all are having so much fun playing together and learning from obviously the great slate of coaches that you have. So yeah, just really pumped to get to talk to you more about your time at BC.
I know. I'm excited to talk to you as well.
Cool. So we're going to start from the beginning. We're going to bring it back because, you know, I do my research, my Googles before the podcast, and try to learn about, you know, as much as I can about you as a player before your time in college and different things that you've done. So if I pose the question to you, who is Belle Smith? What are some fun facts you can tell us about yourself?
Yeah, that's a very broad question. So it's hard to talk about yourself. But for one, I just say I'm a big competitor when it comes to anything, whether it's lacrosse or any sport or the classroom or who can have the most fun, literally anything. I'm a big competitor. I played 3 sports in high school and I feel like that was a big part of my identity. I have 2 older sisters who went through the sport as well. They're kind of my everything, my family. We grew up in a beach town my whole life. So that was a big part of my upbringing as well.
Awesome. Awesome. So we got the 3 fun facts and you mentioned the 3 sports you play. So Belle, you played volleyball, basketball, and lacrosse, obviously. And coming into college, you were ranked the number 1 middy and the number 2 recruit by Inside Lacrosse. You held various school records, even today, for volleyball and for basketball. And you were also a scholar of the year. How did playing those sports, being a multi-sport athlete, help make you become a better lacrosse player?
Oh, it helped so much. If I could give advice to any young athletes, I'd always say to play as many sports as you can growing up. I think for one, it gave me a great balance.
Yeah.
I fear that if I play too much of one sport or do too much of one thing, I'll get a little burnt out. So I think that balance was one thing for those 3 sports. And then also, you know, every season you're playing with different people and you're working different muscles and you're learning different things about offense, defense, how to shoot a basketball, how to cradle a lacrosse stick. You know, you're gaining so many other skills from all of those sports, which I think at the end of the day just helped me with lacrosse tremendously.
Yeah, definitely. And how did you balance, obviously, having a sport, you know, basically every single season? What tips do you have for someone that's going through that and looking to balance and make sure they're at their best?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it also just depends on the person. I'm someone who loves to be busy and I love to compete. So whatever season I was in, I gave that sport my all. If I was in basketball season, it was full basketball mode. Maybe I'd have lacrosse training once a week, twice at most, but it was fully basketball. So I think whatever you're doing, you have to keep your focus directly on that in order to be successful at each thing you do.
Yeah, that's a really great point as well. Not letting distractions pull you away from giving your all in that area, even if maybe that's not the number one favorite sport or the sport that you're going to play in college. That discipline is so important when you have a lot going on.
Totally. And even when I was in a different season, I never thought I wasn't getting better at lacrosse. I knew that my other sports were helping me as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. So kind of fast forwarding a little bit to Boston College, what brought you to BC, right? Like, how did you start getting recruited by the coaching staff? And tell us about your visit, just anything that can give us some insights there.
I'm smiling when you say this because it sounds so cliche, but it was the typical. I stepped on campus and I literally looked at my parents. I was in, I think, seventh grade at this point. I was just visiting with like my older sisters, the school in general. And I was like, I'm coming here. And my parents were like, okay. Yeah. It was everything I wanted in a school. I fortunately had two older sisters that went through the lacrosse recruiting process before me. So I saw a lot of schools already. So I kind of knew already what I was looking for, even though I was young, because I went through it with them. I mean, the fact that I could get into a school like Boston College with lacrosse is incredible. So I knew I wanted to go to a great academic school. And if lacrosse could help me get there, then that's all I could ever ask for. So great academics. I wanted to go and win a national championship somewhere. And I didn't just want to be one of many people who went through a program that had 20 national championships already. I wanted to be and feel like I was part of the change. So being part of one of BC's first national championships was a big goal of mine. And I'm fortunate that I've done that already. But not done yet. And then I wanted to be close enough to home where my family could come to my games. I am a huge family person. My cousin and I went to BC together. And I'd say every single home game, my parents, my aunt and uncle are here for Holly, and my grandparents are here, and my sisters sometimes as well. So to be able to have that and be a ferry ride away was really important for me as well. Especially, like I said, I am a big boater. So just taking the ferry felt like home. And then I loved the location. You know, you're not in the city, but you're right outside of it. So we go into the city all the time. But to have that mix of suburb and city was just like a perfect combination for me.
Yeah. No, that's so great. And I'm glad that it still makes you smile to this day, right? Because you know you made the decision that was the best for you and a decision that paid off, obviously, in many ways. You mentioned that you knew what you were looking for just based on having seen your sisters go through it and then you yourself getting to tag along. So what are some maybe non-lacrosse things that you noticed about Boston College as a school and as an institution that immediately you were like, this is what I want?
The people. Mm. That's like an easy question. The people. Something I think that's unique about BC, especially the lacrosse team here, because we don't have a men's team, is as much as we do hang out with the athletes, I'd say majority of my best friends are non-athletes here, which I think is really cool. Basically, every student that has gone into BC, even if they don't play a sport here, played sports in high school. So everyone's very similar. Yeah. And I just love that the athletes and the non-athletes aren't separated. They're one. And I think that's really special. And I don't think you get that at a lot of top D1 institutions, especially ACC schools. So I think just the people in general, it really is a big family here. It's with the students, my teammates, my coaches, all I could say is family.
Yeah, that's so great to hear. And when I think back to my college experience, just a short 4 years ago, crying on the
side. I know, yeah. You're making me already miss it. And I still have a year to go.
No, that's how I'm here. No, but the cool thing is being an adult, the fun part is your friends, they might live in different places, but then you have a job. You could buy plane tickets to go visit them.
Exactly. You have the money for it now.
My friends in LA, they know me real well. My friends in New York.
I guess I'll go to California.
Right. Oh man, I can't believe I have to sit there and just fly all the way over there. So tough. But when I think back though, I think the people make such a difference. And when someone asked me like, oh, what should I look for in a school? Like, talk to the people, find the groups that you want to be part of, whether it's sports or like an art club or a music club or, you know, whatever organization, Greek life, etc. Right? Like, what are those people like? What vibe do you get from them? Do you feel like they're welcoming of you or welcoming of other people that you've met that, you know, you want to be friends with and different things like that, because that makes such a big difference. Even if you're playing a sport, and for me, it was, you know, I was playing lacrosse, but when I wasn't on the field, I was still going to see my friends in their sorority houses or going to watch friends in plays and all these different things that like help fill the time to where I didn't feel like I was isolated and alone. And so it's so cool that you feel that too. You're highlighting like the people make Boston College the experience that it is.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually off campus right now in an off campus house. We do that for our junior year here at BC. And every single one of my neighbors are my friends. They're all college students as well, which just really makes a great experience.
It's so fun. Living with friends is fun.
Hectic, but fun.
Yeah. Retweet on that.
We love our college houses.
I think it was junior year. I lived in a sorority house. They needed one more person. One of my best friends was like, come live with us. I'm like, sure, why not? Get a single. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And I remember she'd be like, Tari, you stomp every time that you're going down the stairs. We know it's you because I was on the top floor. So I'm just stomping along with like my big pack. And but it was so much fun. And yeah, those are living with friends is the best. So you have had really, because you're kind of in the thick of it, right? You've had a really, really strong start at BC. Your freshman year, you were named the ACC Rookie of the Year. I'm curious if you felt any pressure or stress that season, especially because you were highly ranked and then coming in and knowing that, you know, you had your goals and expectations with you.
Definitely pressure. And I don't think it was put on me by other people, but instead I put it on myself. And a lot of people think that's a bad thing, but I honestly think it's a good thing. I think if you're in a position to have to put pressure on yourself because you're a number one recruit or BC is a top ranked team, right? If you're feeling that pressure, it's because you put yourself in a position to be there. So I think you should be proud of that, right? If I wasn't a top ranked recruit, I wouldn't have to put pressure on myself, but because I accomplished that, now I have pressure on me. So I think having pressure is a good thing. I think it pushes me to work harder and be more competitive than I already am. And also learn from other people. I mean, my freshman year, we had some of the best leaders I've had in sports ever. I remember vividly Kara Urbank would give me so much confidence on the field. And I think especially as a freshman, that's what you need in order to break out of your shell. So without them, I wouldn't have gotten any of those awards. I think that's a big team effort, especially winning that year. You know, once your team's successful, they look to give those awards to those types of players. So I think that's a big team effort, not just an individual award.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that was one of the things I was going to ask was, you know, the mention of you've gotten to play with from the jump, really, really successful, inspirational, and kind of really strong leaders. Aside from Kara, right? Who are some other players or even coaches maybe that you learned from? And then what are those lessons that they taught you?
Yeah, something I think is really special about Boston College is when you come here to play lacrosse, you don't stop getting better. You get better every single day. My coaches coach us more than any coach I've ever had. I mean, I come to practice every day and I learn things from every single one of my coaches. Jen Kent is very hard on me defensively, which I love. Sam Apuzzo is one of the greatest players of all time. So to learn from her every single day is incredible. And then Acacia Walker, I mean, everyone knows she's one of the best coaches to come through lacrosse. And I stand by that. I'll stand behind that forever. So I think being coached by them three, and then on top of that, being able to play with a Jen Medjid, like you talked about before, or a Charlotte North or a Kara Urbank is incredibly special. And as it sounds, I learned from my teammates that are here now too. I mean, I will be the first one to say that I think Sydney Scales is the best defender in the country. And I stand behind that. So even every day I ask her for pointers, help me with my footwork, help talk to me. What do you need from me on defense? I think that's something really important for athletes to be willing to ask their teammates for help. And I think the more I've done that at BC, the better I've gotten. I also think, I know she's not here anymore, but Kayla Trainer was a huge inspiration to me when she was here. She was one of the best role models and coaches I've ever had. And I still listen to the advice she gave me to this day, especially when we're playing Cuse. I really try to listen to that excuse and take it to her then.
Right, right. You're like, what did she say back in the day in 2022?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, great people at this school. And I've learned from all of them, which I'm super grateful for.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. So, you know, obviously as a midfielder, there's a lot of versatility required there and your game is very versatile. So what do you attribute your versatility to, right? You mentioned learning, obviously, and being open to learn, but how does someone become a really successful midfielder?
That's a great question. We were actually talking about this in our midfield meeting the other day. Acacia always tells us, you know, midfielders are two things. They're the biggest workhorses on the team and they're the best listeners. So your job is to give 100% when you're on the field, because you're not on the whole time. You'll get more rest. So know you'll get your rest and give it 100% while you're out there. And your ears have to be open the whole time. You have attackers telling you what to do. On the circle, I have Ryan Smith on the draw telling me what to do. And on defense, I have my defenders telling me what to do and having my back. So I think the two biggest thing for a midfielder is give it 100% while you're out there. Be that workhorse, own that title, and be the best listener.
I like that a lot, especially the listening part. With so much commotion, I'm just thinking of like the attack end. There's so much commotion happening there. People are cutting and yelling for the ball and this and that. And I can't even imagine too, like on midfield or on defense. I played defense once and my ankles were broken, Belle. It was in fall ball. Never again.
I've definitely had a few broken ankles too.
Yeah, we all learned.
I have to laugh though. I have to laugh that you said the offensive end, like cutting through and stuff, because if you actually look at a lot of BC's photos or videos after a goal, you'll see a lot of pointing. And that point, let's say I score, but Jen Medjid passed me the ball. It's just natural. We all kind of do it. We all point. And that's not just because she fed me the ball, but she usually told me what to do. She usually told me to be that cut through, or she told me to do this or that. So that pointing credits them not just for making the pass, but also telling us what to do and putting each other in those positions to be successful.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it shows how much you trust each other as well, right? Of like, if Jen is telling you to cut, you know she sees something. Or if someone else telling you to cut, you know they see something that's going to help you be successful. So you're like, all right, I'm going. Like, I trust them.
Yep. If Jen Medjid tells me what to do, I say, yes, ma'am.
Like, okay, well, I'm going to make 20 rounds. Let's do it. Let's go. Oh, man. No, that's so much fun. I love when teams kind of find a system that works for them and play together really well with that confidence in each other. So you mentioned the midfield meetings that you have. Maybe that's not necessarily team bonding, but I'm curious too, like, obviously y'all are playing a gauntlet, great teams every single week, multiple times a week of that. So what are some ways that y'all have team bonding outside of the lacrosse field and some fun things that you do as a team?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think in season and out of season is obviously very different. I think in season, we're just 100% focused. We have one goal and one goal only here at Boston College, and that's to win a national title. And we won our second one this year, and we own that and we verbalize it. That's what we want. So I think even when we're off the field, we're still doing something lacrosse related, whether it's playing kickball on the field or having meetings about film or honestly sitting together to watch other games of our competitors. I think it's very lacrosse focused, even though we're having a good time. And then out of season and on weekends, obviously it's your typical college life. We're always hanging out at each other's house. We have two off-campus houses right now on our team. So we're always there, going to other sporting events. The football games here are incredible. And then the campus is beautiful. So we really trying to go into the city as much as we can.
That's so much fun. Love a good team bonding. We touch
on to Red Sox games a lot in the spring.
I was gonna say, I'm like, y'all have good sports.
I've been to a few this year. Yeah.
I need to get out to a baseball.
$9 tickets, student. Yeah. Right. College students, they know they need the $9 tickets because we're probably paying
more for that. Like, here, we're gonna help you out with this small business.
Like, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, perfect. So looking, you know, kind of ahead of what's to come, you mentioned obviously the tournament is ahead. I'm curious, what are you excited for the most? Obviously winning that national championship, playing with your team, playing really high level competition, but, you know, do the stakes feel different once it's tournament time? Like, in your mind, is the season kind of split into 3/4 regular season, 1/4 tournament time? Like, how do you kind of visualize that?
Definitely. We say that the season is really three seasons in one. It's regular season play, actually kind of four. We have our non-league games, our ACC games, right? Then we have the ACC tournament, and then that sets us up great for the national tournament. So we definitely split it up, and our mindset definitely does change for the tournament. I honestly think something happens to Boston College. I think it's happened for like 6 years now where we switch modes in tournament time. And I think it proves with the way we play and how much we talk about it and how much we emphasize how badly we want it. So I'm excited. This week, we've kind of started to turn on that mode where it's 100% focus, one goal only, and attacking that goal. And I'm excited to see where it takes us this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Super exciting, super exciting. So, all right, we're going to close the BC chapter a little bit, run it back to the summer. So, again, it's almost like every single year, y'all are busy. Y'all are the high level
athletes. Very busy. I was just in the library I went from practice to the library here. So
yeah, running around. So last summer you played at the World Games with Team USA in Birmingham. How was that experience playing sixes?
It was a great experience. I honestly wasn't sure how I'd like sixes at first. You know, I've never played it. I've played strictly 12v12 lacrosse. So to come in and play sixes, and I think as a midfielder, was really fun for me. Playing both sides of the ball, you're involved in everything. It honestly felt more like basketball to me than lacrosse, which was fun for me because I really missed basketball in high school. So I was like, okay, I can get back into this. This is great. So I think that's one way that multi-sports have helped me. I think it really showed in my sixes game. I also just love the atmosphere. I mean, being able to represent your country, I'll say it every time, is the greatest feeling in the world. Being there, seeing other teams, seeing other sports that I've never even heard of, I just thought it was a really great experience, and I'm excited to see where it goes. I think sixes can go all the way, and I'm so here for it.
Yeah. What are some of the key differences that you noticed or things that stood out to you when you compare full field with sixes?
Sixes is definitely a faster game. You're never off. The right. second the ball turns over, you're already 10 feet from the cage, right? So you have to be on your A game the whole time. I think because of that, there's a lot more subbing that goes on. You're in for a minute and out for a minute, back and forth. Whereas in a regular game as a midfielder, I may be on for 5 minutes and off for a few. So I think just the pace of the game, the exhaustion, you have to be in really good shape for it. And just the speed in general, there's no plays off, which I think is exciting. It keeps it a lot more entertaining.
Yeah, definitely. That back and forth, just from watching and playing too, like the back and forth is so much fun. And I think there's sometimes a bit of strategy required, right? You don't want to let one team get too many goals too fast or slow yourself down and then let someone else be able to come back. And so there is strategy there. But as a midfielder, I'm sure you're used to that running. I would assume you're used to kind of that.
Yeah, definitely used to that running in practice, in games, off of both, just always.
Running to the library, running on
just
the
field. Just run. Yep, exactly. That's what happens when you don't have much time on your hands. You run everywhere.
Do you have a game that you prefer, or are you just excited to be playing both versions?
I love both. I think they're very different. I will say, because sixes is kind of like basketball, it feels more like a pickup game. So I think it's fun in that style. Whereas I think the full field game is a lot more focus, intensity, and a long duration of time to be focused. So I think it's a very different game mentally. Physically, it's obviously different too, like I mentioned, but I think the mental aspect of the smaller, faster game versus the longer, now like 60 to 2 hour game, just the mental capacity is very different.
Yeah, that's such a great point, because I don't remember anyone having brought that up either. Like you mentioned, like in sixes, your attention is kind of, you got to be moving fast, thinking fast, got to let things go really fast. Whereas in full field, you're probably more settled. There's a little bit more time to think through things. And like, I think sixes requires an even more elevated level of instinct.
Yeah, definitely a lot more instinct, because you don't have as much time to think. I mean, there's only four 8-minute quarters. So the game's done before you can even strategize about how to change things. So yeah. I think you got to start coming out hot in the sixes game. You can't really get down by too much. It's just too quick of a game. I also think that in the full field game now, there's a lot more stoppages. At sixes, it's more cards if you foul rather than whistles. So I think even that is less stoppages for that reason.
Yeah, super interesting. I like that. I learned something. I'm going to tweet about this. I'm like, Bell said the mental part of sixes. Yeah, I really think that's a big, big point, because we don't even consider, right? So much of the conversation around the sixes game has been, oh, the field size, the number of players, the this, mm-hmm. but it is a big mental change. So yeah, that's a cool point.
Yeah, I'm glad I could change your mentality around it a little bit.
Of course. Listen, I'm a fan, so I'm always trying to learn. I love sixes. Yeah. I think it's so much fun to watch. And even just an accessibility standpoint, you know, having met and gotten to play lacrosse in a lot of nations, I remember my first time when I was in Portugal, someone there mentioned that there were about maybe 30 or so women that were like signing up to try out for the national team. So when I think in the US, I mean, we got 30 women on my rec lacrosse team in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Multiples of that. And so with sixes, it allows, at least for maybe nations that are still developing or still getting started, to have teams, whereas the US could probably field like 1,000. So it leveled the playing field just a little bit.
I agree completely. If you looked at the sixes this summer versus the World Games, it was just already more competitive, because less players means a bigger pool to choose from. So I think that's a really great point.
Thank you. I try. I'm a little lacrosse scholar. Yeah. I do my part. Well, as we wind down, I think would love to learn more about what you're studying at BC and what you're kind of looking to do after BC. I know you got some time, but just curious about what you're studying.
So I'm an applied psych major here with a minor in communication. I'm actually interning in New York City this summer at Blackstone. So kind of just navigating my likes, dislikes, trying to learn from the best of the best and then figure out what I want to do from there. I don't know yet what my future looks like in the lacrosse world, but I'm going to take it day by day and see where both take me.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if I can see the future per se. I do have my glasses on, but I feel like the future is bright. So
we'll save it. I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're also a signed athlete with Maverick. So you are taking part in the NIL experience. I'm curious to how you see NIL has impacted the game now and maybe some changes that you've seen throughout as you go through that experience yourself.
Yeah, I think NIL is great. I mean, I know for myself, I'm still navigating really what it is and how it works. It's only been here for like a year and a half. And because I'm so focused on my team and season, it takes even more out of me to focus on NIL, but so far it's been incredible for me. I mean, I think it's really important that athletes have that opportunity to make money off their likeness. I mean, at the end of the day, a Division I sport is a full-time job. So it almost feels like you're getting rewarded for that and recognized for your hard work, which I think is great. As long as it doesn't interfere with the team, which I think I've done a really great job of that so far. And I think most athletes have. So I'm so for NIL and I look forward to seeing where it goes because it's only going to go up from here because it's only been here for a year and it's really helped with people already.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm so glad that you get the opportunity to build and continue building your brand for yourself with all the amazing things that you've gotten to be involved in. And, you know, there's longevity in that as well. It's awesome that you get to establish that here. And then, yeah, so I think the last question I have for you, I like to ask us at the end is if there's a young player out there listening right now or just a player of any age from anywhere listening that's looking to elevate their game and just be the best player that they can possibly be, what are some tips that you have to help them elevate their game?
A few things. One, I know I said it before, but balance. I think you never want to stop loving what you do. So really try to not get burnt out from it, whether that's playing more sports or trying to be more social on the weekends, or I don't know, really anything, play an instrument, try and switch it up a little bit so that you don't get burnt out. I always say when you love something, you strive to become better at it. So the more you love it, the more you'll work towards it. And that's where you'll be a more successful player. I also think, like I said before, just listen, learn from the best of the best. Even the people you might not think are the best of the best, everyone has their thing that they're probably better at than you. So try and learn from everyone on the field with you, all of your opponents. We watch film on our opponents every single day, and I learn from them even every single day. So I think listening is a huge aspect in that as well. Absolutely. Being willing to learn more and be coachable.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, especially the note about, you know, listening to everyone, not just people you assume are the best or think are the best. We just never know what we'll learn. That's really great advice. And I think it applies across the board. So Belle, thank you so much for joining us on the pod today. Best of luck and we'll be rooting for you.
Thank you. I'm so excited for the next 2 weeks and it was great talking to you. It made me even more excited.
IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.